Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
Today's sermon text is taken from 1 John 3:18. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I'm going to begin by reading in verses 16 through 24. And by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and that we all also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. 3 points I want to speak about. First, we will look at God's love for the world. Second, the outworkings of love. And third, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. First, we'll look at God's love for the world. The question is, where would we be without God's love? We would be dead in our sins, spiritually dead, lost, no hope, no assurance of anything after life on earth. A future with our souls cast in the lake of fire. Eternity in hell with the devil, suffering, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Eternity like this. Is this the eternity you'd want for yourself? I would hope not. Because God doesn't want this for you either. And because of his love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those which was lost." See, God provided his Son Jesus to be Lord and Savior for all who believe. And God didn't have to help sinners, but he did because of his love. Through Jesus, God wants to establish that relationship with all humans. A relationship that would be impossible because of his holiness and our wickedness. Jesus is the only way to the Father, the only bridge, the only path, the only door to God the Father. And what kind of love would it be if it was forced? It wouldn't be love at all. So God gave us humans a choice to freely come to Jesus or to freely reject him. The sole purpose for God becoming flesh was to eliminate the sin problem so that we could be reconciled to God. Not known as a slave in God's eyes anymore. See, Jesus became the perfect sacrificial lamb to bore our sins in his body, to free us from sin's bondage, break us from those chains that hold slaves. God's love is amazing. Amazing love. Romans 5:8-11 read, "But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of His Son, but much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation, atonement for our sins. If you believe in the gospel of Christ, you are a child of God through faith. And you now belong to a royal family. 1 John 3:1 reads, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." God has spiritually adopted believers through Jesus. The Apostle Paul states in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." What a privilege that is. God's love is sacrificial. His love is unconditional, unchanging, and it's amazing. Praise God. So let's look at the outworkings of love. Our scripture reading began in John 3:16. "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." This verse doesn't mean that we believers ought to die for others such as our Savior did for us. But to lay down our lives for others can mean to sacrifice things in our lives for others. Things such as your spare time, spare money, to help physically with things, or spiritually through prayer, to be a blessing that others might need. You see, love always involves some sort of personal sacrifice. And self-sacrificing love is the responsibility of a Christian. Jesus came to serve, as so should the believer in one shape or form. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this we will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Jesus is speaking about proven love. Because love is more than just feelings that we get. True love is always backed up with actions. What famous phrase you always hear concerning troubled relationships? Actions speak louder than words. In Christian, there are so many little ways that we can demonstrate love for others, such as being respectful, patient, kind, faithful, and at times doing the things that you just don't want to do, like giving that foot rub. It's true. It's a lot easier to say something than to show it. It's a lot easier to think about doing some kind gesture, but following through with action is another thing. Continuing on in our scripture reading, verses 17 and 18. "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Christian, if you have the means or are capable to help one another and you don't, how does the love of Christ abide in you? Where is your compassion for one another? This is a duty as a Christian. Are you neglecting yours? Would you ever see Jesus walking down the street and just neglect someone with their hands open? No. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. Believers, we ought to be living examples of Christ, which means to demonstrate L-O-V-E, love. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Back to our scripture reading, verse 17. You know, there's many applications you can apply to these verses. And this is another one that feels like some sort of a testing. That if you're not even loving enough to help out your own brother, such as a family member or a friend, then chances are you wouldn't even bother helping anyone that you don't know. Someone off the street. Or even worse, help an enemy. When God commands us to love our enemies as well. Luke 6:31 through 36 reads, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Again, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Back to our scripture readings, verses 19 through 21. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. The question is, believer, is your good works or deeds for show, to make a name for yourself among men? Or are they to please God? The outworkings of love is not just based on our behaviors or what we do, but it's based on the condition of our hearts. And only God can read our hearts. If something you're doing is wrong in the eyes of God, your heart will condemn you. God knows the sincerity of your heart. This reminds me of a person that I know that would drive by their father's house on the day of their father's birthday just to see if the car is missing in order to leave a message on the phone wishing him a happy birthday rather than speaking to him directly. I told my kids, you better never do that to me. How about actually praying for another rather than just saying my thoughts and prayers are with you. We can fool men, but we cannot fool God. 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 17 read, "Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Which brings me to my third point, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What sets you apart from others is what is inside you. And in believer's case, it's who is inside you. Who? The best analogy I've heard concerning the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the White House analogy. Now consider that the White House isn't the most impressive built house in America. There are far many mansions far greater in appearance and in structure than the White House. However, the White House, its value exceeds any other. Why? Because of who lives there, the President of the United States. This is the same principle for believers as well. Your value in the eyes of God outweighs unbelievers because of who lives in you, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Revelation 3:19-22, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You see, many people get confused between our conscience and the Holy Spirit, thinking that they are the same when they are not. First, our conscience has been with us since birth. The Holy Spirit entered us as a result of our faith in Christ. They both have a moral code of right and wrong. However, you cannot trust the conscience. Why? Because it was contaminated with the flesh. The conscience may try to condone or excuse our actions that may be sinful. Even the Apostle Paul felt this way, stated in 1 Corinthians 4:4, "For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord." For example, marriage equality. God has instituted marriage to be between man and woman. But through society today, marriage is okay if the marriage is of the same gender. Our conscience can change. Or another example, watching TV 40 years ago is a lot different than watching TV today. And what I mean by this is what you see and hear on TV. What was considered wrong back then is accepted today. So again, our conscience can change. But the Holy Spirit doesn't change, because it could never contradict the Word of God. Over time, the Holy Spirit will renew our hearts. It will renew our minds and our conscience to the more specific truths presented in His Word. So yes, the Holy Spirit, we can always trust in its leading and working in us. Praise God. Believer, you are being transformed continually into His likeness through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God's love is so amazing that it doesn't keep score. Your sins are already forgiven. And believer, we didn't receive the Holy Spirit from works of the law, which is impossible, but through faith in Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. So to conclude, if we have learned anything from love, it is best demonstrated through action in a sincere heart. And no one has demonstrated love better than Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the love you have bestowed upon us. It is because of your love that we are even here. Your love is the foundation of everything. It's the reason why you sent your Son. Because you love us. And you give us the choice to freely come to you. That's true love. It's amazing love. And because of Jesus, He demonstrated love. He gave us the ultimate. He sacrificed the ultimate price for us. Because of love, through action, through sacrifice. Father, we pray that you continue to guide our hearts through the Spirit to demonstrate love in this dark world. To be sincere about any actions that we do. That they are meant to please you and not man. It's only through the Spirit that we are able to do anything and accomplish anything through you. And we are so grateful, Father. Father, I ask that we use this day, use the rest of the week to magnify love, glorifying you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now at this time, offer each other a sign of peace.